2 weeks ago, I shared about reconciliation, and before I go in, I just want to continue that a little bit. But before I go into it, just a bit of a personal testimony from my point of view is that God's been doing an incredible work in my life over the last couple of years, and while we're away, one of the prayers that I ask God is to give me a greater understanding of Him and who He is, and continually prayed that prayer, and I'm still praying that prayer, and it's just incredible how God is revealing things to me about Himself, and it's just blowing my mind. We were in Esperance, and Esperance is a beautiful place. We're out in the national park out there, and it's beautiful blue skies, beautiful blue water, and great beaches to drive a four-wheel drive down and see all the stuff going along on a beach. It was just an amazing, amazing place to be. And we had a guy next to us by the name of Patrick, and he was a guy who did a lot of getting out there. And he'd done a lot of you know, full on camping, you know, up into the Kimberley region and right up into the, you know, northern parts of Queensland, and he'd seen so much, and he was a nice fella, and we got talking to him, and I was just I think I was bringing the kids back from the toilets one night, and I was just walking past, and he called me over, and he had a telescope there. And he said, "Come over, Chris, come and have a look at this." He was a quietly spoken man, and it was as clear a night as you would ever want to have. And he had it focused on the moon. And I'd never really taken much interest in that sort of stuff before. But I had a look, and the intricacy of God's creation that I saw so much closer than what I had ever seen before in the moon was just amazing. And, you know, the Bible talks about His creation crying out of who God is. And you know, in terms of, you know, Graham shared about God's Word this morning, and I'm seeing stuff in God's Word that I've read over and over and over, and He's just bringing stuff out to me that He's just... it's doing my head in, but it's changing my life. And so, you know, part of what I shared last week was a little bit about that, and there's so much more than just last week. We could talk for hours and hours. But I just want to encourage you. I'm not sure, you know, where you're at in your life at the moment, but why don't you start praying the prayer, "God, reveal more of Yourself to me," because it has just blown me away of the incredible God that has sacrificed Himself for me and changed my life. And so it's a powerful thing. So as we hear more from His life-changing Word, I pray that it gets into your hearts. And it's not me saying I've got it all and I know it all by any means. There's so much more, but I just love seeing God's Word change people's lives. So you can follow me in the Bible if you want. There's a few scriptures tonight, but I'll just do a quick recap of last time. I talked about the message of reconciliation, and I spoke from 1 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. And the scripture was, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the message, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." God reconciled us, and He's given us the word of reconciliation. God understands us well in order to carry the message of reconciliation. It's important that we understand that we have it ourselves and believe it. We've got to believe it and understand it. When we think reconciliation with God can take place through our ability, our goodness, our behaviour, our righteousness, we're living a flawed model. And that's pretty much what I shared last time. Reconciliation can only take place through the gift in what Christ has done. Now, a gift is for free. You don't pay anything for it. It's for free. God has given it to us. He's given us reconciliation. So tonight I wanted to talk to you about, I entitled my message, Understanding Relationship, and I want to talk to you about adoption. So if you want to follow me in your Bibles, we're starting at Ephesians 1, and we're going to read from verses 3 through to 10. Praise be to God, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven on earth under Christ. Because of Christ, we are now sons and daughters, and we have every spiritual blessing. Now, I wrote, out of that scripture, those seven verses, I wrote five just awesome things that we have because of what God has done through Christ. He has given us every spiritual blessing, firstly. Secondly, we are holy and blameless in his sight. Thirdly, we are for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Fourthly, in him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And lastly, and I'd love to share on this tonight, but I won't be able to share on this tonight, but I highlighted it because I just thought it was just so awesome. He made known to us the mystery of his will. I'd love to do a message on the mystery of his will. Those five things alone. But tonight I wanted to talk to you about adoption. And in Galatians 4, verse 7, if you want to just open that up, we'll just quickly read that scripture. And it says this: So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. No longer a slave, but a son. And he's made you an heir. That is an incredible thing. We didn't have to pay a thing. All we had to do was say, yep, I believe it. And we got it. So I've got four things tonight that I want to share with you about our adopted life. And if I'll give you the four, and then we'll break them down. The first one is our adopted life is a covenant relationship initiated by God. The second one is our adopted life is activated by faith. The third one is our adopted life begins with a seed. And the fourth one is our adopted life grows by the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. So the first one, our adopted life is a covenant relationship initiated by God. Hebrews 9:15 and 20 says this: that is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. The eternal inheritance. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins they had committed under that first covenant. And verse 20 says this. Then he said, the blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. Our adoption, and this might sound a bit funny, but our adoption was signed off in a covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was signed off in a covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. There was no deal in it. It was just signed off because of what Christ has done. And we have a covenant that is initiated by God and given to us and put up there, and our job is to believe it. We just got to believe it. Which leads me to the second point. Our adopted life is activated by faith. Now, faith is believing in what Christ has done. We're actually believing what is true, okay? Because the Word of God is truth. Okay, so we're not believing something that might be true. We're not believing something that could be true. We're actually believing something that is truth. Now, if we're believing something that is true, we believe, and a lot of people get stuck on this, we believe that it is enough of what Christ has done for us that he has set us free. And if we believe that we've got to do certain things to get that, then we're not believing truth, because it's not truth. And I've got about four or five scriptures here about faith and what that truth is. But firstly, Jesus died. Secondly, he took the blame for our sin. And because of that, we are in relationship. We're in relationship because of what he has done. Now, my son, Joshua, is my son through the blood, through our blood connection. There's nothing he can do to change that. Not a thing. There is not one thing he can do to not be my son. And through the blood of the covenant of Jesus Christ, we have the same relationship. Now, Graham shared about intimacy a couple of weeks ago. That intimacy level may vary, but the relationship always exists because of what Christ has done once we accept that and believe that what it is. Okay. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed. This is Romans 1:17. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We're righteous by faith, by believing what Christ has done. Okay, that's Romans 1:17. Romans 3:25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. I love this scripture. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think we've complicated faith. I think we think it's an unattainable thing. And I know I've sat there before and I've thought, God, how do I get faith? Faith is believing the truth. And the truth is what Christ has done. What has Christ done? Christ has died for all mankind. And those who accept it become adopted sons and daughters. It's as simple as that. You cannot change that. That is written in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the most powerful freeing thing. God wants to free you from the weight of expectation. And when we get the belief right and we begin to understand that, you know, that the scripture says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Not to lock us up, but it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we no longer live under the yoke of slavery. We are free in Christ because of what he has done through and by faith. It's as simple as that. Our adopted life is activated by faith. The third one, our adopted life begins with a seed. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin. And I'm reading from the Amplified version here. Not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. John 3:5-6 says this in Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Once we accept what Christ has done, our spirit comes alive. We are alive in Christ. It comes alive. As it is with our earthly life, so it is with our spiritual life. It begins with a seed. And it grows. And it grows. And it grows. Who waters the seed? Can anyone tell me who waters the seed? Anyone? Big voice? Holy Spirit. Who's the farmer? In the parable of the sower, the farmer goes out and sows some seed. So the seed can't water the seed. The ground can't water the seed. The ground is our hearts. The farmer's job to water the seed, to have it grow. Now, it grows in different ways with different people. I think sometimes we feel like we've got to have pressure to grow. But it's God's job to do that. He deals with our hearts. And we start to get free when we understand that he's the one watering the seed. And I love this scripture in Philippians. This is just awesome. He has begun a good work in you. It's Philippians 1:6 if you want to open to it. And is faithful to complete it. God has begun a good work in you. And is faithful to complete it. Let me just read that again. God has begun a good work in you. And is faithful to complete it. He has begun. God has begun it. We didn't begin it. God began it. And he is faithful to complete it. He's going to see it through. We were born for the seed of Adam. But now, our spiritual life has come alive because of what Christ has done. And we are born from the seed of Christ. and it will grow. It'll grow and it'll grow. Now, as a baby, they're fed, they're looked after more than what, say, someone my age is. I'm not saying my wife doesn't look after me very well. She does look after me very well. What's that, Graham? No. You heard incorrectly, because she wasn't around when I was a baby. So as a baby, we get fed, and it's all put out there for us as we grow, and as we grow, and as we grow, we begin to be able to grow up in Christ, in our spiritual life as well. If we haven't got the right belief system in place, we're going to have stunted growth. And if we don't understand what Christ has done, and we don't get that, and we feel this immense pressure that we've got to do all this stuff, we're going to have stunted growth. Because he began a good work in you, and he is faithful to complete it. Now, some of you might be sitting there going, well, I'm a bit frustrated right now. I just don't think I'm growing enough. Faith in God and his process. He has begun a good work in you, and he is faithful to complete it. So our adopted life begins with a seed. And the last one is, our adopted life grows by the power of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't going to read this, but I really do want to read this tonight. And Luke 24, verses 30 to 32. I just think that this is really, really important for what we're talking about, understanding our adopted life. Who's got it before me? I'm sure most people have. Better get the right order. John comes after Luke, doesn't it? When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus were talking about how Jesus had died, and Jesus actually joined them. And it's interesting in verse 9, it says, but they were kept from recognizing him. And so it's interesting in the power of the Holy Spirit, how this, and with Jesus and the parallels and how it'll work. But what happened with these guys is that They were talking about Christ dying and, you know, how bad it was and everything. And they said, this guy walks up to them and he says, what's going on? And they said, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard what's going on? And then he says this to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And he began to speak from the scriptures. And they didn't realise at first, but it was interesting that he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and began to give it to them, and then their eyes were opened. He did relationship with them, and their eyes were opened. He came round the table with them, and their eyes were opened. The power that we have, and this might be stepping back into the last message, in us, of being relationally open with people, will help them to see Christ in us because Christ is in us, he's seated in us, he's growing in us, and people will be attracted to that. And these guys then realised, and they said, were not our hearts burning within us? And I read this scripture, and it's kind of like, it's been like that for me when I've been reading the word in the last 3 or 4 months, that my heart has been burning within me through the things that I've been reading and seeing in the scripture. There's nothing like it. When your heart burns within you, there's something so alive and real about that. And these guys got it, and they got it. And so I just want to continue from where I was. But if you want to open your Bibles to John 14, 16 to 20, and this is just really, really important stuff in our understanding of how things work. John 14, 16 to 20. And this is Jesus talking. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. What's an advocate? Can anyone tell me what an advocate is? Anyone? Big voice. Anyone know what an advocate is? Go on. On behalf of you. So, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you someone who will stand in for you and speak for you on behalf of you, who will never leave you. God never leaves you, guys. Never. He says it. He never leaves you. And he says, he is the Holy Spirit, and we talked about truth earlier, who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. Now, I just want to stop there before I go any further. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He's talking about the Trinity. And he ends up talking about the Trinity, and he's saying, because he lives with you now. He's saying, I'm with you now. I'm with you right now. And then he says this, and later will be in you. So he doesn't say Christ is in them yet. He says, I'm with you, but later I will be in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, no. And we've been talking about adoption. He says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans, because he's going to adopt us through the power of what Christ has done. And he says, I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I am raised to life again, and this is it, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Christ is in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking on your behalf, helping you live the adopted life. He's a supporter of your case. He leads you in truth. Leads you in truth. Okay, what's the truth? The truth is the Word of God. We know Jesus is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. He's leading you in truth, making your life a whole lot easier. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but helps us to live it out. He shows you things that matter to God because he's leading you in truth. Now, I just want to talk about something that's important for us. If God's our friend, if I had a friend, and say Rick's my friend, now Rick knows I barrack for the Magpies, and Rick barracks for the
Bulldogs.
Okay, now, Rick's my friend, and this is for the future, because I know the Bulldogs will get better one day. But Rick, Rick isn't going to give me the hardest time about things that he knows that are close to my heart. Now, let's take footy off the table, because we will joke about that. We will joke about that, Rick. But if he knows my heart, and he knows the things that I like, and he knows the things that matter to me, is he going to hurt me by taking the things that I know that I like, and is he going to give me a hard time over them? No, he's not, because he's my friend. We are adopted sons and daughters of the living God. And what Graham spoke about this morning about the Word of God is that I don't like it being a have-to thing. But when we get to understand this, we understand the heart of God. And when we understand the heart of God, we know the things that make him smile. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith pleases God. What is faith? Faith isn't believing in what he's done. But he also talks about some of the things that hurt him. And I'm not going to go through them now. But if we're friends of God and he is our saviour, he is there for us, he wants the best for our life, why would we do things that want to hurt the heart of God? And it's incredibly empowering in a relationship that the Holy Spirit is there as an advocate for us. And sometimes we look at the do's and don'ts in the Bible and we go, that's just been a killjoy. But in actual fact, the Holy Spirit is our advocate talking to us and saying, this is for your benefit. If you live this way, you're going to have an incredible, powerful life. And you're all individuals with a seed of Christ in you. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you to grow into the person that God has created you to be ultimately. Christ in you, incredibly empowering. Now, the Holy Spirit works with you, and at times, in a healthy relationship, he will use a bit of discipline. But if our picture of the Father who loves us and cares for us is wrong and we think he's a God with a big stick, those times aren't going to go very well. Because if we see God as that, we're going to run from him. God wants us to run to him. God is about redemption and reconciliation. He wants us to have the best life we possibly can. It's when our belief system and understanding of who God is out of order that when we get into trouble, we run away from God instead of running to him. He wants the best for your life. The Holy Spirit is an advocate for you, speaking on behalf of you and on behalf of God, being the mediator between you, wanting you to have an awesome and incredible relationship. And can I encourage you, don't read the Bible because you have to. Read the Bible because it talks about his promises for you and the incredible power that there is in the Word of God. And sometimes he'll give us some guidelines to say, hey, look, don't go there. It's not worth it. But it's not because he's want to kill your joy. He wants to complete your joy, fullness of joy. Make your joy complete. The Holy Spirit is not just there for the gift of speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is so much wider and broader than that. And sometimes it's been hemmed in to be something. The Holy Spirit's been hemmed in to be something he's not. Fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. He is there to be our counsellor, our comforter, our advocate, so many things. But God wants the incredible best for our life as adopted sons. We are in Christ because of what Christ has done. If we think mistakes break relationship, when we make mistakes, if we think that it breaks relationship with God, we have got it wrong. Mistakes will take place. And yes, the Holy Spirit will talk to us about our mistakes. And he'll say, what's going on here? The other day one of my boys who was just being a little bit out of line, and he's a bit of a justice boy, and I won't talk about which one it is. But we were having breakfast, and I was listening to him do the justice line with his mother. And I listened for about five or six lines, and I said, "That's enough. No more justice. Come and have a talk in the other room." So we went and had a little bit of a chat. Now, the chat was, why do you need to do that? And we talked about it together. Why is it? What is setting you off that you need to go down this line? And I'm not going to go into what it was. But at the end of it, he walked into the room and he was okay. Now, I didn't have to whack him. I talked to him. I worked through it because we have relationship. And it doesn't mean that through what he's done, he's out of relationship. He's in relationship. The Holy Spirit is there on our behalf, speaking to us about the issues of life, wanting us to have the best life possible. Now, I've read the scriptures, and I'm not a big one for the belief that baptism in the Holy Spirit's one of these big things. I think that we have the Holy Spirit as soon as we decide to follow Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, but sometimes there needs to be a bit of an awakening in our lives to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we begin to listen and listen more. And tonight, you've got to understand that the Holy Spirit is in unity with the Father and the Son, and they're working together in us to give us an incredible life. And they want to see that seed that begins as just a seed grow in us as we become more like Christ but have our personality. Now, I don't care. Anyone who says to you that you're just going to grow up and be a copycat is just rubbish, because in Christ you become something so much greater than what you think you or you could imagine, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And so tonight I just want to pray. And before I pray, I just want to say, if you feel life's dry and you need an awakening, we don't need an altar call here. But what I'd love to see tonight is that you understand the relationship that is there, and that you believe what God has done for you, and that through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can begin to grow and grow and grow into who God has called you to be. Adopted son or daughter that is loved by God, who wants the very best for your life. So can we pray together? Father, we just thank you for the power that is in your word, that it is life-changing, that, Lord, that you so want the best for us, and, Lord, that you gave us Jesus to give us life, that you sent your Son to die for us, and you've given us the Holy Spirit as an advocate for us to help us live an awesome and incredible and powerful life. And Lord, I pray tonight for those who might be sitting there saying, I just don't think I'm hearing anything. Well, Father, I pray that those ears would be open, those hearts would be softened tonight to hear from you. And Lord, that I can stand here and we can have an altar call, but it's you that does it. And so, Father, I just pray that for those whose hearts want to be open, God, I just pray that you would come in power. And as that scripture in Luke that we hear, Lord, I pray that their hearts would burn within them. I pray that if it's you tonight, that your hearts would burn within, knowing a God who loves you and wants the best for you, and has an incredible plan for your life. And so, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, do your work here tonight in a powerful way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.